You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
First Nations listeners are advised that the following program may contain the names and voices of our mob who have passed on to the dreaming.
Wallawani Nindiga, Nyaga Kirin, Nyaga Din, Waniwandian. Nayawanj Bagan Ngul, Nayawanj Barabara Ngul. I'm not going to provide a translation. I think that people should be learning other languages, and, you know, in particular, I think that any First Nations listeners out there should really engage with their own languages and, you know, start that journey, if you haven't already, to learning your own language again. You know, at the end of the day, a people without a language of its own is only half a nation. And if we're serious about decolonizing, we're serious about nation building in terms of, you know, First Nations, we need to really learn our languages again and re-engage with them and, you know, make sure we're speaking them. And, you know, don't just stop there if you're non-Indigenous as well. I've got something to say about that as well. You know, English is the predominant language on this continent, but people actually from England are not the predominant population of this continent anymore. There's a lot of people here now who come from a wide variety of backgrounds, who each have their own languages and their own cultures, and I encourage listeners who are non-Indigenous to go and engage with your own languages as well. Go and, you know, learn those languages if you haven't already. And, you know, even people from the UK, there's plenty of languages there to learn as well. You know, we've got Irish and Scottish and Welsh and whatever else. Go and learn those languages too. There should be no reason why any of us are continuing to speak English. It's a disgusting language, the language of the colonizers. And, you know, I just wanted to add a few more points in on learning language. You know, at the end of the day, language is, it's something that shapes how we think. You know, it's not just how we communicate, but it's actually how we think. And when you're learning other languages, what you're doing is you're learning a worldview. You know, it's not just the vocabulary and the grammar and whatever else. It's an actual worldview. And if we're serious about decolonization, whether you're in, you know, Indigenous or non-Indigenous, if we're serious about decolonization, we have to start by decolonizing ourselves. And we can't decolonize ourselves with the language of the colonizer. You know, part of that decolonization process is learning or relearning these languages that have been impacted by colonization. You know, language is something that carries our history, it carries our memory, it carries our collective experiences. You know, when we're learning a language, it's also learning what people value, what they notice, and what they prioritize, and, you know, the way that they structure their entire societies and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, one really good example of that from my own language is when we look at words that have to do with kinship and family. Our word for grandmother is also the same word for the earth. You know, it really shows the kinship there. And, you know, further than that, we've got a lot of words that it's something to kind of really hard to explain. I suppose I'll try and do my best, but, you know, when we look at, I'll give you some examples actually. So, you know, in my language, the Dorga language, one of the four major languages of the Yuin Nation, in my language, when we look at words for family, take mother, for example, you know, we've got a lot of different words for mother. It's not just one word like mum or mother. There's contextualized words there. So we have words for a, you know, woman who is pregnant. We have a different word for somebody who has one child to somebody who has multiple children. We have even a word, and this doesn't exist in the English language or probably most European languages as far as I'm aware, but we even have a word for a mother who has lost a child. You know, in English we have words like widow and we have words like orphan to reflect people who have lost a loved one. But in English, there's no word for a mother who has lost a child. But in my language, we have a word for that. And, you know, going further, you know, looking at the kinship aspect, even though we have all of these different words for mum, your mother's sisters are the same words. Because, you know, in our kinship systems, our aunties on our mother's sides were very much seen as, you know, second mothers. Likewise, on the paternal side, the father side. Our word for father and our word for our father's brothers are the same words. Our word for cousin is the same word for sibling. You know, it really shows the way that our kinship system works. And, you know, these are things that you can actually see when you start learning these other languages. Whereas in English, it's so divided up and it's got its own context, don't get me wrong, but it the way that English structures their language around kinship really shows the division of kinship and really shows the siloing of families and, you know, the way that family structures aren't as strong or as connected as they might be in other cultures and societies. So, you know, it's something to really consider when you're learning these other languages. And look, if you don't know where you're from, you know, say you identify as a white Australian or a white settler or whatever you call yourself here, and you're not sure exactly where in Europe your ancestry come from, you know, first and foremost, I encourage you to go and look, go find out, go trace your lineage. But if you find yourself unsure of what language to learn, there's plenty of other options out there. You know, I encourage people to engage with the languages of the indigenous people whose land that they now occupy. Not only that, look at other languages as well, like languages throughout Asia. Just to give you a bit of a sense of the way that different societies and cultures structure their families and view their world, you know, that whole ontology and epistemology that language really describes in the way that it's structured. So yeah, it's something I think is a very important thing to engage with and to learn. And, you know, learning language, it's something that requires humility. Don't get me wrong, you are a beginner again. It's something that, you know, might take some people longer than others. But the important thing is that you actually engage and you actually try and you actually take those first steps to learning languages. It's something that, yeah, I think is very important, especially in terms of, you know, nation building and decolonization and your own personal identity as well. So I suppose another thing that, you know, I've really discovered by relearning my own language is just how lazy of a language English is. Now, you know, don't get me wrong, a lot of people who know various different languages, especially people who have learnt English as a second or third or fourth or whatever language, they say that English is one of the hardest languages to learn. But, you know, the fact of the matter is the only reason it's hard is because English is a very bastardized language. It's a dozen or more languages in a trench coat together pretending to be one language. Pretty much every word they have is adopted from other languages. And, you know, as a result as well, they've gone and adopted all these different various rules and, you know, grammar and whatever else from these different languages. And they've mismatched them together. And that's why English is often seen as one of the harder languages to learn, because it's got all these contradicting rules and technicalities in it. But the fact of the matter is, English is a very lazy language. It's got a lot of lazy words in it. You know, to give you a bit of an example, in my language, the Dorga language, we don't have words like a and the and, you know, these other small little words that you slot into sentences. And as a result, when you spoke your sentence, you had to be more conscious about what you're actually saying and how you're structuring your sentence and the order of your words and stuff, because you couldn't just throw in these lazy little words that we have in English. So, you know, don't get me wrong, as I said earlier, learning another language is quite a journey. It's not something that's necessarily easy, especially when you start off with English. You know, you start off with this lazy language. But it's something that is a necessity for anyone who truly believes in decolonization or, you know, getting rid of that Australian identity and subscribing to another identity. You're listening to Yilliman on 3CR, 855M in your dial, 3cr.org.au, streamed online and via the playback service, where you can listen on demand, either via the website, 3cr.org.au/Yilliman, or you can also listen wherever you get your podcasts from. We got about, as I said, about 10 minutes or so left in the show. Don't go anywhere yet. Coming up next will be Curly taking you through for the next hour with Cultural Kinetics, another deadly program playing some really deadly music. It's an absolute scorcher outside today, but it's going to be even hotter again tomorrow. You know, it's meant to be 38 or 39 or something tomorrow, I think they forecast. It was 40 degrees in Perth the other day. You know, absolutely scorching hot. Real indicator of the times to come with climate collapse and climate catastrophe and, you know, climate change. Something that we all need to be mindful of as well. This is probably going to be my last show for the year, actually. I should mention that. Over the next couple of weeks, so still tune in. Over the next few weeks, we'll be playing back some of the really great episodes that you've heard earlier throughout the year on Yellerman. Some really good discussions that we've had too with a lot of really good guests. Going to be playing them back over the next couple of weeks. So if you missed them, it's a great opportunity to catch up. Or even if you heard them, you know, it's always good to re-listen again and just have a think about what's being said, a bit of a refresh in your mind of what's going on right across the continent in terms of decolonization and the struggle against colonialism here. And yeah, it's something that I'm looking forward to as well, you know, not just having a bit of a break, but looking forward to playing these great interviews back again. Quick announcement as well before I jump off the air. This Friday the 19th from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Harmsworth Park in Collingwood is a rave for the Towers. The Towers being the public housing towers. It's being organised by 44FU or 44 Flats United. There's going to be music and food by the community for the community. There's a whole bunch of acts that we'll be playing. It's going to be a really good night, so get along to that one if you can. And chuck it in your calendar out of the way, but January next year on Invasion Day, the 26th, I will be one of your co-hosts for the day. It's a Monday, I believe. But we're going to be having a special broadcaster's day where we have a lot of First Nation presenters getting on, talking about, you know, what the day means to us, talking about resistance, sovereignty and self-determination, and also doing some live crosses to the rally here in so-called Melbourne, as well as some of the other Invasion Day rallies that will be happening around the continent. So that's going to be a really great day as well. So, you know, obviously, first and foremost, I encourage people to get along to the rallies, to show up, you know, be loud, be proud, to let the colony know that we're still here, we're still fighting, we're still resisting, you know, get those numbers out on the street. But if you can't make it for whatever reason, you're stuck at home or, you know, you're doing something else on the day at work or whatever it might be, tune in to 3CR. You can tune in via 8.55 a.m. Sorry, getting a bit confused here. You can tune in by 8.55 a.m. on the radio dial, and you can also stream it live via the website. So no matter where you are, no matter how good your radio reception is, you can still tune in via your phone or computer or whatever and listen to the broadcast on that day.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.